The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the day will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will that be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say that I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not immediately follow." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents, and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your soul." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Pop quiz, yes or no answer. Is Jesus talking about anything new?
No.
No, he is not. Good answer. A lot of folks associate this and passages like it out of scriptures with the end of the world. Oh, the end of the world is coming. We've been listening to this for generations, centuries on end. And it turns out, if you actually listen to this text, it's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not about the end of the world. Others would claim that this is about the end of time, and it's a concept that grew out of the ancient Greek traditions. It turns out it's not really Jewish per se, and the Greek word is eschaton, and it's where this fancy word eschatology comes from, and that has to do with end things, heaven, hell, and judgment, and all that kind of stuff. If you pay close attention to this text, it turns out it's not about the end times either. The deeper message here, and I'll leave you with this, is what in the Hebrew scriptures and then subsequently in the Christian scriptures is known as the coming age, or what Malachi, or what my lovely, intelligent talented wife called Malachi. I mean, being around my house is just total entertainment. It's the day of the Lord. It has nothing to do with the end of the world, and it has nothing to do with the end times. We will get back to that in a moment, but first, you will have the pleasure of listening to Maria Bravo. Maria, come on.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Maria Bravo. I'm a participant of Capital City Circles Initiative, and it's a nonprofit organization that helps families you have a hand up?
Yes.
That was it. Yes. So this program has to do with helping people out of poverty. But the way they do it is teaching them. They teach them a lot of lessons that we, or yours truly, I don't talk for everyone, usually avoid or don't want to talk to or talk about. For example, we talk about the different social classes and what is our individual ideology about the social classes. We also talk about, which I never knew this, the emotional concept for each class about money. I didn't even know there was an emotional concept for money, but apparently there is. And so, mine's not very good. Well, it's getting better. So they teach us for the next 16 weeks, once a week, we meet and we share a meal, and they offer child care, and we go into this, well, it used to be here. Thank you for all the support for the program over the years. This church has done a lot for us, and we really do appreciate it. We used to have dinner there on Wednesday night. They teach us different things that honestly, I avoided. When I first started Circle, if he can verify what I'm about to say, I came in and I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to look at anyone in the eyes. I basically sat by myself and hoped nobody would talk to me. You would never think it, right? Like, I'm up here talking like nothing. But I did this for 3 years because for some reason in my mind, the allies, there's allies and champions. For those of us that were in poverty, I'm still working on that. For the champions, that's what we're called. And the allies are people from upper middle class or beyond. I don't know how much they make. They don't tell us that. So they come in and they have dinner together. Well, I would never sit with anyone who I felt was above me, because I had this mentality that they were better than me in some way, shape, or form. And so I would come in and not speak or talk to anyone, and somehow I felt awkward and an outsider. I still do sometimes, but for the most part, I try to get over that. And so they teach us, they help us interact with different people, and then they help us find the resources that we need to overcome challenges that we normally... For example, when I first started, I would struggle. And instead of trying to find a way, because I thought I could do it myself, I would give up in self-pity and wallow. And so after I went to Circle, I was matched with wonderful people. My ally, and I love them to death. They're my best friends now. And so they would find a way. They knew somebody that knew somebody that had the resources. My science teacher used to say, and he said this in class one time, and it stuck. He said, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters who you know and your resources. And when I came to Circles, I learned that. I learned that it isn't what you know, it's who you know. And thankfully, I've met a lot of great people. And so, my allies would help me overcome every obstacle. They would either go over it, around it, or under it. But we'd get over the obstacle. And to this day, I go to every Wednesday night meeting, and I meet wonderful people. Actually, I have the pleasure to be here. And this afternoon, I'm going to meet with a financial advisor that's an ally in Circles. I didn't know what that was when he first came in. I went, what is that? And he explained, and he saw the need of the program and created a seminar for women to manage money. Go figure, right? And so, I'm going to meet with him today, and we're going to talk about investing. I heard that I heard of the word and had no idea what that entailed. And so he's going to teach me. And that's going to help me. Which is great. It changes my mindset. It changes the way I see the world. It changes the way I see people. But I was raised by a mother, a wonderful mother who I love. But her knowledge was of a third grader. She barely knew how to write her own name in Spanish. And so she did what she could. I have this saying that I tell my daughter, every mother does what she can with what she knows and what she thinks is best for you. And my mom did the same. She worked really hard. She taught us how to work really hard. But as far as balancing a checkbook or investing or the fact that, you know, things that thankfully my daughter, because now I'm a single mom, my mom was a single mom with 5 kids. And she worked really hard, but for some reason all of us struggle with financial stability. They've taught me over time that there's 2 different kinds of poverty. Situational poverty, which means you'll be in poverty, but not for long. And then there's generational poverty. And I was in generational poverty. And so my siblings are as well, because we're lacking so much education that we have no idea we're lacking, so how are we going to learn it, right? We have no idea. But as time passed, we've through circles, I've learned a lot, and I continue to learn. One of the reasons that I'm not leaving anytime soon, just so you know. So, I've learned a lot. They've helped me a lot. There's a lot of resources. And like I said, I am so grateful for this program. I am so grateful for the people. I'm so grateful for the churches that support us. And we found that they really do change lives. But what I love about this program, more than anything, is the changes that I see in my daughter. When I went to the program, I didn't have any more dreams. I was focusing on paying paycheck to paycheck to just live the day, because it was hard. I was a single mom, living with my brother, since I could remember, because I didn't think I could afford to live on my own. And I was at a really, I think in my whole career life, I was at the lowest point in my life when I came to Brazil. But what I love about it is the funny way I found Circle, and the reason I do this. I was at work. I didn't like my job. My boss told me, if you hate this job, then there's the door. And it's kind of hard to go through the door when you barely have enough to survive, right? So I was going to the bathroom, and there was this flyer that had 5 questions. And it said, if you said yes to any of these, give us a call. And afterwards, I went to the bathroom, of course. But when I went to lunch, I called them. And the coach, who passed away a few years back, he told me it was a program. And he's like, well, we already started. We're on a 2nd class. It starts today. And you need to be interviewed before we can let you into the program. And let me explain why. Because when you're trying to make changes for the long run, you need to have at least your basic, what is that saying? You have to be so sick of your situation that you want to make a change, and make a change for good. And so he interviewed me, he asked me questions, and he analyzed my answers. And thankfully, he let me into the program that same day, that same moment. And so, it was really just meant to be, right? I mean, everything happens, and it happened so easily. And so, I go into this program, and I go through a lot of hard things. And I want to just wallow in self-pity when I feel something just isn't going my way, even though I'm trying really hard. But I did that once, and there was 15 or 18 classes once a week. And by the third or fourth one, I was like, whatever, this isn't going to help me. And I'm obviously too tired, you know? And my little girl, who was 6 at the time, she's like, I want to go. I want to go. I like it. I want to go. When are we going? Yeah. And so Pam, which I'm really grateful for, because she makes it a wonderful experience for the kids, and they enjoy it so much, and where they take care of the kids in your church. And she wanted to come back. And so we did. We came back. But through this journey, there was a couple times I didn't want to come back. But my allies, my mentors, my friends now, brought me back and looked for me and said, what's going on? What's the obstacle? How can I help you? And so they somehow always brought me back. And I'm really grateful for that. They're wonderful people. And so I'm in a place right now where I feel there's so many women or men that really need to know about this program, that really need to know people that can help you. And they can help you change your mind. Because if you don't change your mind, you're not going to change your environment. So so every time they tell me, hey, you want to do this? Of course. Who would have thought, right? I mean, I don't even want to look at anyone in the eye, right? Oh, we'll come up here and talk. But I feel Circles has done so much that they deserve to be known. And if it wasn't because Holly Hutter, the owner of the company I work for, was on the board of directors and was a great supporter of this program, I would have never seen that flyer. But there's very few people that are out there that do need the help that don't know all about Circles. Or there's a lot of people that could be awesome mentors or allies to a family that don't know it's there. But from my point of view, my daughter has changed a lot. My daughter she was 6 years old, and they helped us make dream boards. Like I said, I didn't have dreams. She did her first dream board at 6. They don't do this for kids, let's get that clear. They don't do dream boards. But she went to the Boys and Girls Club, cut up a whole bunch of magazines, and pasted them on a piece of paper. Came home and said, that's my dream board. Well, since then, she now has 4 of them. She makes more dream boards. But we talk about SMART goals, budgeting, what's the difference between what you need and you want, and how to make it work, which I have no idea. And so she's changing. She's in leadership. She's growing up. Recently, I was in an interview for a new director for Circles, and she got to sit down and watch 4 grown-up people get interviewed and see what the difference was between a successful person that was prepared and ready to someone that wasn't. She goes with me everywhere. I take her everywhere. But she's now 13, so, you know, teenagers, yeah, you can't make them do very much. You try. right? For those of us. And so, because these experiences will change her. She won't be that person that's afraid because she thinks someone is better than her just because of their situation. She's going to be someone that's confident and strong and independent, but also know that she can't do it on her own. She needs people, and she can't isolate herself. And my daughter's very positive. Very, very positive. She's a yin to my yang, as I say. So I feel that for those of us that are in poverty or born in poverty, it's very important not only to change our situation, but to change our mind frame. And if you don't surround yourself with the right people, the right environment, you're not going to find that. My mom, when I was growing up, used to say, it doesn't matter who you are. Tell me who you're with, and I'll tell you who you are. It's just the way that it is. So if you want to be somewhere, hang out with the people that are already there. And so Circles gave me that opportunity. And I owe them a lot. So, as my daughter says, when it comes to circles, I talk forever. I'm awesome when it comes to circles, but I'm just going to keep this short. If you know anyone in that situation, or if you know anyone that could be an awesome ally to someone, please let Jeff know, and he'll direct you. Or we're there Wednesday night at, I almost forget.
Presbyterian.
Thank you. We used to be here. We used to eat here. We're down Wednesday night at 5:36. Just come in and sit down and have a nice dinner and enjoy the company, and I'll try to be welcoming. And so, just let them know we're there. It's very important for those of us in that situation to find the right way to better our situation. I really do encourage you, and I wish you to let as many people know about the program. And I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
I hope you figured out from Maria's presentation that, yeah, circles have people like me and Shelley Aldean. We instigated the initiative here in Cardiff City. People like Holly Hutter, who's a major manufacturer, John Rogers, John and Maria are our best friends these days. John's a major manufacturer here in Cardiff City. Yeah, we're all involved in circles, but the stars of this initiative are the folks like Maria and the other champions. And so they're the ones that are making a difference. I mean, Maria has spoken in front of boards, politicians, schools, you name it, as a champion for the Circles Initiative. So Maria, thank you so much. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of time. It is the coming age. And let me tell you what the coming age looks like according to the Hebrew Scriptures and according to Jesus. The coming age is when equity, equanimity, social, political, and economic parity take root around the world. In other words, when all people have what they need, not necessarily what they want, but what they need to live full and productive lives as citizens of the globe. That's the heart of the gospel message. And so for people who have the means to alleviate poverty, suffering, and oppression, to sit around and speculate about the end of the world or the end times is a total distortion of the gospel message. We just need to put that out there right now and recognize the impact that the coming age is intended to bring into our lives. Now, if you think about it for a minute, for those of us who have more than we need, the coming age might actually feel cataclysmic. Because the coming age has to do with a redistribution of the Earth's resources in all kinds of ways that right now may be a little difficult to imagine. But there you have it. It would have to do with the agenda of God. And so, Jesus called in his preaching, in his teaching, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, he calls for a community that transcended social barriers. And these days, one of those entities would be called the Episcopal Church. I mean, now that we have fully embraced our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, and that we have committed ourselves to a vision for creation care and the equality of women, we've got a long way to go there. I mean, the Episcopal Church is part of what Jesus lived and taught. He also called for a community that cared for its least privileged. Sound like circles? Indeed it does. And finally, he called for a community that confronted abuses of power and wealth. And these days, that's called community organizing. And if you have any questions about that, see Veronica after the service. She can bring you up to speed. So, this is our mission, to participate in the coming age. So about a week ago, Hallie Murphy, sitting right over here with her mother, showed me something that her daughter, Alicia, shared with her. Now, how many of you folks remember Alicia? Yeah, she grew up here. She used to, remember, she used to dance in the aisles. She is an amazing young woman. How old is Alicia? 26 years old. Okay. So, Alicia, if you know Alicia, you'll get a kick out of it, sends her mother the following little poster. It says, "Be Christ-like. Gather a crowd and inspire them to anarchy." If you know Alicia, this will make sense. "Beat a politician with a whip." Not exactly what Jesus preached, but again, if you know Alicia, you're getting it, right? "Help out your local sex workers." Sounds like Jesus. Doesn't say how, but... "Drink all the wine." Some of us don't need any encouragement there. "And finally, don't forget to preach and live equality."
Email that to all of us.
The coming age. Thank you, Alicia Murphy, for the message of the gospel today. And thank you once again to Maria for the message of circles. Now take a moment, take a nice deep breath.